Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once, a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time, and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget, so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Hi, folks. I'm joined by Dr. Nima Parvini, otherwise known as the academic agent, who has decided to come in and join me for a chat about the current state of play on the political right, both domestically and internationally, and what we might be expecting to see in the future. Dr. Parvini, how are you doing?
Well, thanks for having me, Carl.
It's a pleasure. Right, so what's your lay of the land at the moment? Because just for anyone who's watching this, Keir Starmer has just outflanked everyone to the right. He's somehow won over a lot of the kind of hard right Twitter folks with his, I think the most important part was when he said that immigration had been an unmitigated disaster for Britain, which condemns morally all of the people who had supported immigration up until this point. And it's had them running around like headless chickens. What are we going to do? Because our biggest champion up until this point has suddenly betrayed us all.
Yeah, no, in fact, that speech by Starmer was notable. Being not only a moral conduct, it was a thoroughgoing repudiation of the mass immigration experiment, as he described it.
Everything since 1997.
He didn't just say that it was creating, I mean, islands of strangers that had the headlines. He actually took away the economic argument, which has been very central. It's always been justified as the link between GDP and immigration and growth. Those three things going together. And he took that head on. He also, I don't know if you caught this, in that speech, I got a kind of deep-seated, almost loathing of libertarianism from Starmer, where he said basically that, you know, we have a responsibility to govern. And there were the echoes in that speech of Thomas Carlyle. And this sounds ridiculous, right, that a man like Keir Starmer would echo Carlyle. But Carlyle talked about the ship of state needing to be steered. And Starmer strikes me as somebody, actually, especially in that speech, there's not a liberal bone in his body. Like, he is kind of, you know, somebody who believes that the job of government is to govern, is to steer the ship of state. And I think that this presents a problem for the British right as it has been constituted since Margaret Thatcher, because there's still, even now, in Reform, for example, or in Nigel Farage, or in the Tory quote-unquote right, they're all involved with the IEA, at the ideas about Adam Smith, free market economics, and Starmer's just taken an absolute axe to all of that. He has framed immigration actually as being the result of a libertarian free market experiment, which I think was a masterpiece of framing. It's also something that I've talked about for some time. This move, this containment move, was telegraphed pretty heavily by certain Tony Blair, the Dark Lord. How is it telegraphed? Because he's basically been saying it for the past 5 years. He's been saying, look, the populists have a point. Immigration has got out of control. So what we need to do when we're in power is to actually deliver the result, to put that issue away. We can't just talk about it. We can't just have rhetoric. We actually need to do it. And this is something that I know a lot of people have been skeptical. I know a lot of people are skeptical. I actually believe that Labour are more likely to actually do the job, right, than the Tories or even than Reform. Okay. And I imagine a lot of people, this would be freaking out. How can you say that? But Let me jump in on this because
I actually do agree with you. Mm-hmm. Because Labour, the Conservatives lack a certain will to power, and they reside in the cockpit of power by accident almost, mm-hmm. because the Labour Party have not made themselves to appeal to the vast majority of the population. The further they went left, the less appealing they became, which means that the Conservatives didn't put forward an affirmative program for action. They said, we are the lesser of two evils. And in a way, they're probably right most of the time. But the Labour Party has a strong executive spirit within itself. Mm-hmm. And this was definitely brought, I mean, this was easily visible in like the 70s leading on to Margaret Thatcher. And of course, very visible in Tony Blair's governance moving into the 2000s. They have a plan. They intend to do something. Now, the thing they intend to do is evil, but they at least want something out of governance, whereas the Conservatives view governments almost like a retirement plan or something. Mm-hmm. Our job is to do the very bare minimum and sort of coast along on left-wing morality until we're forced to do something or the Labour Party takes over. And so in this way, they're kind of say uniparty is a bit cliche, but in many ways, they are exactly the same organism that is symbiotically moving through the British political establishment. So when the executive half of this organism has acted too much and done too much and made too many mistakes, people choose the passive side of the organism to just kind of let the problem fade away for a bit. And then when they've decided, yeah, okay, maybe we are up for a change now, they'll go back to the executive side. We've had this back and forth this whole time. Mm-hmm. Whereas the Conservatives will never step off of that moral agreement. And this is why the Conservatives are now far more left-wing than the Labour Party.
I also think it goes even a little bit deeper than this. I mean, we could say that the likes of Tony Blair, whether you love him or hate him, he's a guy who looks at the situation and he says, look, this is what needs to be done, okay? I've got a plan to do it. And somebody says, let's say a lawyer comes up to him saying, and says, Tony, you can't do that. It's against the rules. He will say,
I made the rules.
And he will also say, well, then the rules need to be changed. Mm. Those rules, they worked for that time, but now the circumstances are different. Mm. So we need a new set of rules. So he won't let the status quo get in his way because he is somebody who is always thinking of the outcome down the line, okay? Unfortunately, the Conservative naturally, okay, and this is something Pareto talks about, they're a type two elite. They are rule followers.
Yep.
Okay. And what happens is the left set up a new set of rules. And just as the Conservatives start getting used to following these rules, slavishly, pathetically yep. following those rules, Labour come along and pull the rug away. And they'd be like, well, guess what? All the rules are going to change again. And look, now you're stuck with Kemi Badenoch as the leader. And look at you now. You're still stuck in that woke paradigm. And now we've parked all our tanks onto the lawn, which is a move that it was telegraphed a mile off. Hmm. And
I mean, just a quick thing there. Go on, it was a few months ago that Keir Starmer first used the phrase open border experiment against the Tories. Mm-hmm. And everyone was like, oh, wow, that's strong rhetoric. But everyone let it slide. Mm-hmm. It's not that Starmer hasn't been edging towards this point already. He seeded this a couple of times now.
Yeah.
And so I think you are correct on this. This Morgoth had a great video on this saying, look, essentially the Tories have rubbed diversity in the left's face at this point, and now Starmer is just going to tack to the hard right. And in that speech, every point he made, it made like four or five substantive hard right-wing talking points. And often Nigel Farage himself is not brave enough to raise. And Nigel Farage often raised the economic argument or the institutional argument. But Starmer, by calling it an island of strangers, what he's saying is we've dispossessed the British people of their own homeland. And this is why the left reacted going, oh, that's Enoch Powell. It's like, they're right. That is Enoch Powell. And it's also the deep relational language that Starmer used. Can't be by accident.
There was a few times in that speech where I found myself almost involuntarily going, yes,
yeah,
yes. I mean, one of the things he did is he drew attention to the fact that the public have consistently voted against this. The public didn't want it. They voted for one thing. They got another thing. He called the Tories basically traitors. And he called them out for their betrayal of their own base, which is really strong. I mean, there were a few times, Carl, where I thought, have they been watching us, Labour?
Yeah.
You know.
Well, this is all the talking points we've been making 5 years,
exactly.
And it was just it's a speech I would have given.
Oh, it's amazing!
It's the speech I would have given.
No, this is the thing.
I would have left out the diversity is good bits.
This is the thing that I've been, and I know, you know, my critics have said, well, this is a subversive figure. He's secretly working for Labour and so on.
Well, I do believe that.
I know a lot of people believe that, but. I'm trying to think in terms of the outcome.
Mm.
What is the situation that will maximize the outcome that we want?
Mm.
And the main way of getting there, in my opinion, is to move beyond the kind of flim-flam of petty party politics.
Mm.
That is the thing that really holds people back. Rather than seeing it as this party versus this party, this is this party, instead taking a wider metapolitical view where almost you're just kind of like setting the tempo in a way.
Hmm.
And I mean, let's face it, on this issue, the tempo is ours.
I think Rupert Lowe tweeted out the other day that this was the consequence of the online right. And I think in this regard, he is correct. I think if it wasn't for that consistent body of influencers and activists driving this issue every day, then I don't think it would have been as salient in the minds of the political elites as it clearly has been. And they, I think exactly what you say, it's like they're watching our channels. Now they might be, they might not be, but the point is, if they're like, right, okay, immigration has gone too far, we need to come out with a strong anti-immigration perspective. Well, what suite of policy proposals would you have? What suite of arguments would you have? Well, they're right in front of you because they're in your comment sections all day, every day. And so you just lift them and go, yeah, this is the set of arguments that work, and they do work. And so even if they're not directly watching me or you or whoever, it's our arguments that are percolating through the discourse that they had no choice but to accept.
Yeah, and another thing that I think that we can learn from the Dark Lord, from Blair, is the mindset. Mm. The future we want is inevitable.
Mm.
How we get there, that's up to for debate, but it is going to happen, and it's going to happen in the direction that we want. That ball is rolling. Look at where we are now compared to five, 6 years ago. In a strange way, as Morgoth said, Boris is to kind of blame for that because of the ridiculous numbers that we've seen. But another thing that Blair does, he always has a plan, right? What we need to be doing is generating plans all the time. Okay, now it may be that they copy them. It may be that they never pick them up. But ideally, there needs to be plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D, plan D, E. And all of them have to be ready to go or to be finessed or to be picked up because politicians are lazy.
Yeah.
They need that. So
really, and they're not that smart.
What people need to be doing is, you know, one of the worst things that Farage did when he gave that interview, I can't remember who it was with now. Maybe it was with Steve Edgington, I can't remember.
I'm against mass deportation.
Where he said, oh, it's impossible. It's politically impossible. Yeah. Okay,
that was the
Edgington. This was just, I mean, he shouldn't have been saying that. He should have been saying, actually, it's perfectly possible in these parameters. Here are 10 different plans that the government could pick up tomorrow. Okay, so he, in a way, the problem with the model that the Tories and Reform have had is that they're always reactive.
Mm.
You shouldn't be reactive. You should be proactive. You should have the plan. And honestly, think like Tony. I mean,
you're right.
I look at politics and be like, who is the guy who's getting results? Who is the guy who seems to always get his way? Well, it's Blair. Why? How? Okay, he's got advantages. He was the prime minister and he's got backing and so on.
But he's got an idea of what he wants.
But these principles, believing your future is inevitable, having the plan, I mean, these are things that we can kind of take inspiration from, let's just say.
Honestly, this is why I'm quite optimistic about Rupert Lowe, actually. because you can see that he has a plan. He knows what he wants. You know, how he gets to that position, who knows? Maybe he'll never will, et cetera, et cetera. But he's not just a conservative who is prepared to play in someone else's sandbox. Mm-hmm. He's prepared to set the rules. And so, oh, finally, someone on the right. Because, I mean, Nigel Farage, for all his charisma, is still playing in the left sandbox. We're not the racist. The left of the real racist is his genuine boomer core beliefs. And he will always have this.
I mean, ideally, another thing that we could learn from Tone is getting beyond this paradigm of the left versus right.
Yeah.
Blair always presented his set of solutions as neutral.
Hmm.
Okay. And immigration's not a left or right issue.
And you'll, just as the thing, you'll notice Starmer did the same thing in his speech. He said it just wasn't in the British interest.
Exactly. It's the neutral position. Yep. So the neutral position is immigration needs to come down. The neutral position is we need to start increasing deportations.
Yep.
Now the only discussion left to have is how to get there and how precisely do we do it. And now the conversation's a lot closer to, you know,
Steve Laws.
Well, I mean,
it really is, though.
Right. Yes. But what I was saying is now the conversation's a lot closer to the sorts of paradigms that Blair sets up in, like, let's say, for digital ID. Well, the decision's already been taken. It's the only question is how quickly do we get there, or how exactly do we get there, crossing the dots. And so that's one kind of positive development, I think, is that people, I think, have kind of disaggregated themselves from loyalty to Tories or even loyalty to reform. Mm-hmm. And if Rupert Lowe did anything, it was showing how actually support for Nigel is not automatic. Support for Nigel is not de facto, because people will, if we think Starmer is going to get us the results we want, for example, for reform can't count on it. So what I mean, if any reform guys are watching this, what can they do? Rather than tacking to the center or playing the wet or whatever, they need to be saying, it's not enough, Starmer.
Yeah.
Where's your deportation plan, Starmer? Yeah. You know, you're saying you're going to get the numbers down by 200,000. It needs to be zero or whatever.
Why is the Boris wave still here if you've just said it was a failed experiment that betrayed us?
Exactly.
And that I think, is actually a very strong argument that should be being made at the moment. Hopefully Rupert Lowe will start making it or something like that. So these people need to go.
And ideally, we need to be, and this is again where people, I think, get caught up in quote-unquote slop. We don't need to be worrying about Owen Jones and Ash Sarkar's, and that's for the Blairites to deal with, and the Blairites will deal with them. We need to be on to, the right to actually kind of put the right sort of pressure on Labour from the right. Not, I mean, honestly, they were wrong-footed by this. They shouldn't have been wrong-footed, because many of us, me and you, years ago, saw this coming because we pay attention.
Hmm.
We're not like out doing like little bits for £50 a go to say happy birthday.
Yeah.
We're watching what Tony Blair's saying. We're seeing what plans are coming down the pike. Right. And so I feel like they weren't reform, were not prepared. And the Tories, I mean, forget about the Tories.
Yeah. No one talks about the Tories, because why would they? But the thing I find really interesting about this, in particular, the not just Starmer's speech, but the Twitter post he was making afterwards, was that he is receptive to arguments from the right.
If you would like to see the full version of this premium video, please head over to lotuseaters.com and subscribe to gain full access to all of our premium content.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.